This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
You like parades? The mayoral parade continues, and it's nice to see Bob Fioretti. It's been a while. Nice to have you back on the show.
Good to be here. Definitely.
And, Bob...
But do we have a band as this mayoral parade?
You wouldn't be bad. You know? At least a three-piecer.
Music.
Yeah, orchestration.
Yeah, we need a band, right.
Look, there's nobody that knows City Hall quite like you do. As a former alderman and an attorney who knows every inch of this town, and you've run for mayor before, are you going to hit hard your experience in these few weeks going up? Because you know the real estate.
I do, and actually, people are saying because of what I've done across the board. You know, when I was elected, the second ward was 76% African American. I was the first white guy since 1915, and I won ultimately with 72% of the vote in that ward. You know. You have to really reach out, and I've done things that I built five parks. We did a nice development. I had more schools than any other ward. I got over $1 million for every school in my ward
by
working
deal.
With our legislators. So I think I brought 8,000 jobs to my ward. Not one candidate can say if they've ever brought jobs to any part of the city.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it is experience, and it is experience at this point. And I've raised all the issues that all of a sudden all these reform candidates are talking about, and it's like, where have you been?
Well,
you either stood on the sidelines or you criticized me directly.
Bob, I was going to say, I mean, everyone seems to want to run with the progressive mantle. This is the year of the progressive, even if they...
Whatever that means.
It's the buzzword. Yes. But what does that mean to you? I mean, because you have been involved in progressive politics. You've been a reform alderman and an elected official. What do you need to be a reform candidate and a progressive candidate?
Well, I think some of the... some of the items, you know, Bill Daley, it's sort of funny. I think he's taking all of my ideas that I've talked about in the past. He's clearly done everyone. I'm wondering if he's going to take my last name next at this point. So, you know, we look about term limits, smaller city council, having town hall meetings on the budget. I'm going to go to every ward once throughout the year and have just the ward residents come to me and talk, just like I had ward night. And I would line up people, you know, and try to deal with their problems. I'll have my whole cabinet there. If you got this kind of a problem, let's see what we can do to solve it. You know, and again, they're talking about more police. I voted against 6 out of the 8 times on budgets because we didn't have enough police, we didn't have enough detectives, and we should have been opening up our mental health centers.
Bob, you know, let's talk about police because crime is a big issue, but of course right now we saw yesterday the verdict on the 3 police officers acquitted. You also see today at 10 o'clock we're going to have the verdict or the sentencing for Jason Van Dyke. What do you think about what we saw yesterday with the verdict, and what do you feel about what's going to happen today with Jason Van Dyke?
Well, I'm not sure what's going to happen with Van Dyke. The problem was I watched it just probably like everybody here, bits and pieces.
Right.
The judge gets to hear the sentencing report. He gets to hear from some witnesses, maybe the family, to talk about what kind of a sentence he should impose. He will make the right decision. I do trust this judge, just like I trusted the judge yesterday. You know, she was an associate judge, so she's elected by all the judges. And I find it that associate judges are much more keen in terms of application of the law. She had an hour. You know, you go to a jury and the jury comes back guilty or not guilty. In a civil case, liable or not liable.
Right.
But in what this judge did yesterday, she read her opinion virtually an hour long before as she reached her decision on all 3 of the police officers. I did not listen to it.
A bigger question, just as there is part of Chicago that will celebrate that, there will be part of Chicago that will protest that. As someone who wants to be mayor and the leader, what do you say to Chicago when we have divisive issues like this that separate our city?
Well, in fact, there's going to be 3 protests today. One at 10 at the 26th in Cal. There's going to be one downtown here, and I think a third one at City Hall. And we have to see, you know, it's time for healing. It's time for bringing people together.
How do you get there? How do you get to a point where people trust the court system?
Well, That's a good question. You have good lawyers, you have good state's attorneys, you have good public defenders. Half of the problem is people for minor crimes are still in jail and they should have been tried within a week. Our system has to evolve and change. We've got to build trust, but we build it by going out to the community. You know, we have to start at the top in the police department. I do not have any confidence in this superintendent. I had no confidence in the last superintendent because he was just a puppet of Rahm Emanuel. And now all of a sudden when he got jilted and fired, he was running against him.
Should the mayor have the power over the superintendent, or should that be a separate thing?
That's a good question all the way around. I haven't thought about it in that way, but I think in this superintendent, he just chose him. They bypassed what was already on the books in terms of choosing. He should have a role. He should have a selection of who and what. And
do you like the idea of civilian oversight?
We have a lot of civilian oversight. We have to look at what we're doing in terms of creating more civilian oversight. We do have a police board, but it took me 2.5 years, both starting under Daley and finally under Rahm, to modify and change and reform the police board. You know, we've got Lori Lightfoot. She was head of OPS. She was head of the police board. I mean, she was helping to whitewash most of the cases that were coming before her. You know, we need good hiring. We need continual training, not then. We need supervision and we need discipline. I don't see it in this force. And our police officers need backing. They need constant training. If you look at the consent decree, I've read it a couple of times, at 225 pages. It says, let's bring the FOP, all the police unions, to the table. They did not do that here. They've been excluded. So the police officers already feel their back is against the wall. At the same time, if you look at the reforms that they're talking, instead of everybody throwing darts at it and throwing it up in the air and saying this is useless, they were items that should have been put into place a long time ago. How you deal with force, how you deal with the use of tasers, tear
gas. All the things that broke the trust down.
Yes, and it could have been resolved a long time ago. If we would have had a professional superintendent, the last three or four were not. They were puppets, really, of the mayor's office. And so we need to find a professional here who knows the streets of Chicago, that knows good practices, not only in this city and other cities, but someone who can guide our department.
Well, a lot of people thought McCarthy was it.
Well,
when he was hired, I mean, he had all the police experience in the world. So you go from McCarthy to a guy who's rank and file, who works his way up. So I guess you find somebody in between. I mean, I don't know.
No, but, McCarthy wasn't it. McCarthy,
but he had what you're talking about. He had the resume.
He had a resume, but every city he was in, a consent decree followed him. I'm calling this current consent decree the $28 million McCarthy tax, because that's about what it's going to cost us every year. We could have been starting this stuff a long time ago. I got up on the floor and voted no on one of the budgets. Specifically, I started off, we don't have enough police officers, and we need them, and we've got to find them.
When we come back, I want to talk about the commuter tax, because I believe everyone other than me should be charged mightily to come into the city of Chicago.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, and the city's got a major money problem, and we'll talk about how Bob Fioretti would handle the city's money and what he would do about it. The Bob Fioretti website for mayor is?
Bob4Chicago, F-O-R.
Bob4Chicago, F-O-R, for Chicago, and more in a moment.
This is 720 WGN Chicago.
Bob Fioretti's here, wants to be your mayor. Bob4Chicago is the website. All right, I don't hear anybody else talking about a commuter tax. And I know people don't want to hear the word tax, but honestly, the city needs revenue, and we need some control over how we deal with traffic in and out of the city, the parking in the city, and things of that nature. London has had this forever.
Well,
there's a way to do this which is not a killer for people and can help.
Right. And first of all, we have a $10.2 billion budget. And that budget, right now we're paying about $900 million into the pension fund. In 4 years, we're going to have to pay a billion additional dollars. Whoever is elected mayor and sworn in on May 15th, by September 1st, has to find $400 million new dollars for the pension. That goes to $600 million the following year, $800 million, and then a billion. So we're going to
pay. Like a loan shark.
It is. And that's been the problem from day one. A commuter tax, my view, is, and I proposed it 6 years ago, and Ron beat me up on it, saying, oh my goodness, you know, it's going to kill jobs. No, it's not. It's not a head tax like he was, and he was trying to get rid of the head tax at that time. A commuter tax would be a tax on people from Indiana, Wisconsin, and the suburbs that come here, that work here. 1% and 1% only. I know Daley's picked up the idea, but he doesn't know how to implement. That for the 800,000 people that come in here daily to work, that would generate $300 million. Now, look, I'm not in favor of any taxes. We can't. If you're not in favor of commuter tax, you're definitely in favor of property tax increases, and that cannot happen.
You got to find a way.
So, and we can probably, by lifting the ban on video poker, we can raise $75 million. If I can't find $25 million for next year in the budget, something's wrong, because this budget is pretty bloated, and we can do things there.
Justin, last word.
My last word, just for, you know, you talk about pensions and you talk about the budget, that but what's coming up here, you are part of a council under Daley and Emanuel. You were a vocal critic of the mayor's, but at the same time, the council and the mayor kicked the can down the road, and here we are, and it's time to pay up. How can we trust that the people who were manning the ship back in 10, 15 years ago, when we were kicking the can down the road, aren't going to do the same thing again?
Well, you know, that's a good question, because you're dealing with the optics of how the council works. The downtown ones are... if you look at their campaign funds, they got, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars. But as you get into the outskirts, they're bought off by the mayor. They have to do what the mayor says. You know, we need an independent council, that's a council that chooses their own leaders, and not one by Rahm Emanuel or whoever the mayor is dictating who the committee chairs are. You know, we have to change the way we do business here. That's why I say a smaller city council. We need a term limits for all elected municipal officials.
Amen.
We're the only city that doesn't have it. Well, I take that back. Out of the top 10, Philadelphia is the other one that does not have term limits for its people. It's time to do
that. My last question is, if you become mayor, will you shut off the microphones of the aldermen who protest?
You know, Daley tried that one time on me, and so no, they can speak. You know what's interesting, and I'm going to answer that. You know, some of the folks out in the community fought for getting the community comment time. Well, you know, when that starts after they say the Pledge of Allegiance and they open up the council, the mayor walks out for the next half hour. About a third of the council members, they should be listening to the people of what they do and what their concerns are and why they're there. The other you know, remaining council members are on their phone. It really is a joke. I've only gone to one council meeting since I've been.
You know what, you handled like the second time I mentioned London here, so maybe I'm British and I don't know.
Wigs.
Prime Minister question time, where you as the mayor stand up, say what you want to say, sit down and let everyone heckle you, and then you stand up again when it's your turn again.
That is kind of like council.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, except for the part where you sit down.
Right. Well, you know, another thing, maybe the council ought to be running the council instead of the mayor. And a lot of cities across this country, mm-hmm. I've looked at all of the top 15 cities in our country and what they do, how they elect officials. You know, the other problem, voter suppression and how we keep people off the ballot, and having these gosh darn elections in the middle of the winter, really.
Oh, it's ridiculous. No, listen, we know why election day is in March, and there's no reason it can't be moved. Good to see you. I wish you luck.
Thank you.
And I'm glad your health is so strong. You look good.
I'm feeling good, and good. I'm ready for the run.
Yeah, it's going to be a busy few weeks.
Yes, it will.
That's Bob Fioretti. Bob for Chicago. That's the number four, F-O-R.
F-O-R.
F-O-R. Exactly right, Bob. Good job by you already. Bob for Chicago. Dot com. Good luck.
Great to be here. Thanks.